It sure is good to see this number out this morning and to see everyone, and just been real excited about this study. If you would, let's be turning to Luke chapter number 2, no surprise probably to what we'll be preaching on this morning. Appreciate the good singing this morning, the good Sunday school time. Enjoyed our Christmas meal last week. That was a good time. I know we have a lot of sickness in the church, a lot of people to pray for. Let's remember them. Remember little Zeke. Pray for him. I wanted to let you know also on December 31st, we'll be planning on going down to see Brandy's family. So I've talked to Brother Isaiah Green once again. He said he'd fill in for us, so he's supposed to fill in for me that week. So just wanted to share that with you this morning. And what I've been thinking about this week is how fast this season seems to come and go. Seems to kind of ease in on us and then take off. You know, we don't want to forget Thanksgiving or anything like that, you know, but it's almost what we try to do each year is kick off Christmas a little bit sooner, a little bit earlier. And pretty much the kind of way we've kind of got it at our house on Thanksgiving that evening, maybe we try to get the tree up because it just seems like it happens so fast. And it is, it's a busy time, and I'm not even talking about just what you're normally used to hearing about commercialism and hustling and bustling and all that, but you know, it is a really important time to spend with your family, the family that you have here. It's important to do that, and I want to encourage you to do that. We can have a lot of things going on, you try to do all the events and all the things, and if you're not careful, you end up forgetting what it's all about. I mean, you really do. Trying to do all the things. You think about the disciples. They're doing all the disciple things when they were here during the time of the Lord. And they were so caught up in what they had going on, they wasn't really paying attention to what God had going on, what Jesus had going on. You know, this time of year, it's important that we slow down and really think about what it really means. And you say, yeah, preacher, that's what's said every year about this time. But you know, as things go on faster and faster, we need to keep it on our mind constantly. And we just really do. We try to maybe watch some of the Christmas movies that gets us in the Christmas spirit and all that, and kind of get us thinking about things about this time of the year. But I tell you, it's important that we just really slow down. You probably have to start about what, Christmas in July? That's probably about the time you have to start if you really want to slow down and get into it. But it's just been an amazing thing this year, just trying to be in the Christmas spirit, if you will, or thinking about it. It's, I don't say harder, but it's just so fast. It's just like it's here and it's gone. It's here and it's gone. That's what it feels like. Next stop is Easter, and you go through it that way. But I want to preach for a few minutes today on the topic of a great light. A great light. What you'll see here in Luke, this is about the birth of Jesus. It's about his birth. And you have different viewpoints when you look at the Gospels, and I think maybe most may understand that, but I want to share a little bit about that. If you look here at Luke was a physician, and he approaches things from the standpoint of man. He's talking to the Greek. He's talking to the thinkers in the crowd. You know, some people would be accused of just believing it without thought or putting any thought into it. But you know, I want to tell you this morning, if you're here and you're thinking things through, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't think God has a problem with you and I having questions. I think the issue really lies in when we start questioning Him, our Maker, our Creator. We really don't have that right. But things as we learn in life and as we see it, I think it's okay to say, Lord, what should I learn from this? You see, that's how he approaches things. He was a physician. He was a doctor. He focused on the natural man. And that's what you'll see this viewpoint on the birth of Jesus being from. That point of view is on the point of man. You know, God, Jesus, being all man. If you read in the book of Matthew, you're going to see a completely different viewpoint. It starts out with this long genealogy of who Jesus is. It explains why he is the rightful heir to the throne of David through the genealogy. See, the Jewish people are a people that are looking to find out who their king is. That's what they would be interested in. The Gentile man, you and I that are Gentiles, we'd be looking at why would we need to see Jesus the way that we see him? How are we supposed to see him? How are we supposed to see him? You and I are not necessarily looking for a king. We were looking for a Messiah. And you see this here. There's a lot of what I would say kind of a political view placed in here. And it was a dark time in history. It was a time, I'm going to go back and read in Isaiah chapter number 9 just to get us started to this point here. But it was a very different time in history. It was a dark time. It's referred to as a dark time where there wasn't really a whole lot to look forward to. It was kind of run-of-the-mill work, and it was just a dark time. There wasn't a lot to look forward to as far as politics goes. There had been a lot of judgment on the nation of Israel, and it's just a hard time. Here this morning, if you were looking at what you see in the headlines or politically or government, I don't think many here would honestly say, boy, this is a good time in history from that viewpoint. Living in the time of grace is the best time, in my opinion, to live by, to live in. Just the wonderful things that we get to have that we don't necessarily face like they face there. But you look back in Isaiah chapter number 9, I'll read just a few verses here to get it started, because this is the prophecy of Jesus to come. This was a little bit of excitement, a little bit of hope that was given to those people. I want us to see it that way here this morning, you know, putting everything aside, all the hustle and bustle aside, really thinking about what this good news means to you and me. There's far better than what we could see underneath the tree. There's far better than what we see in this world that God has to offer for you and I. I want us to think on that this morning. This was the sign of the Messiah that was given. It says here, 9:1 in Isaiah, it says, "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations." It's talking again about a dark time. Their disobedience led to their judgment. It was a dark time. "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." Boy, that's a good thing. That's an encouraging thing there. Some light at the end of the tunnel. It's not all bad. It's not all over. "Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil." Talking about the natural things, what they divide this time of year, if you will, after the harvest time. "For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire." And look here, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, a great light. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with the judgment and with the justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this time that you've given to us, this time of study, a time of reflection, Lord, to really think about what this season means, God, and we should always keep it present in our hearts. We should always be ready to tell others about it and share about it, what it really means. And we see the lights, we see the gifts, Lord, but we need to reflect this morning on the great light, a great light, the light that you are, the light that you sent in Jesus Christ in this dark world, Lord, that we would have a way of hope, we'd have a way of salvation, we'd have a way of peace. God, it's not all what we see and experience here. This is the small and short time of history, God, but what we look forward to is eternity. Eternity in a place, God, that you rule, your judgment, your thoughts, your rule, the way that you would have things to be, the way that many would dream things to be, God, a perfect place, not ran by imperfect people, but by a perfect God. Lord, I thank you for salvation this morning and giving me the opportunity, Lord, to accept such a salvation, this world to accept it, God. We need to see Jesus and who he is and what he's done for us and really be appreciative of that, God. And I just pray that you help us to do that. Think about this worship time. This time of good news, this time talking about the birth of Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of this entire world, how he left heaven, left the throne, the place that he was at, to come to this place, this dark place, to share this light, to be one among us, God, to place this robe of flesh on, God, to be one like us, to be that perfect sacrifice, God, that we would have a way of salvation. Lord, I can't thank you enough for all that you do for me, all that you do for our church, Lord, and I just thank you so much for that. Lord, I ask your blessings upon the service. God, my mind, my heart, and my mouth, Lord, just pray that your will be done here today, God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, again, excited about preaching this morning, and it really, something kind of dawned on my heart. You know, I say a lot about thankfulness, or try to anyway, but I want each of you to know how much I appreciate you. And I don't want that to sound just kind of generic or anything. I want you to know sincerely that I mean that. This is a dark and can be a dark and harsh world, and I don't want to go without saying how much I appreciate you. And I want you to know that I love you. I want you to know that I'm here to help you. I think sometimes we get afraid to use that word love, like we're going to throw it around callously, but sometimes we can guard it so much we don't say it when we should. And I want you to know that I love you. I'm concerned about you. I'm concerned about your hearts. I'm concerned about what you face. And a lot of times, I'll be honest, I feel, me and Brandy's talked about this many times, feel like we fail in being all that we should be, but I want you to know I want to be. I care about you. Care about our church and what you mean to us, and not just this time of the year, but every time of the year. I mean that, and I want you to know that this morning, and it's kind of exciting to be able to share this with you. There's some good news, the great light, the light at the end of the tunnel when all of this comes together. Now, back in Luke chapter number 2, again, he's talking about this. He's coming at it from the point of the natural man. They were doing things business as usual. Like you and I, a lot of times, we're doing things business as usual this time. And I guess for us, this would be probably what we would see around April time of the year. I'm not saying that that is what's taking place here in God's Word, but I'm saying that's when we have our tax time and we're going about that kind of business. And our minds are probably kind of locked on that versus anything else. How much do we owe? What do we have to give? All those kind of things. And so we can see how the natural man would look at these things here. When you reflect back, and I'll come back to what we just saw there in Isaiah, but you see here in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city." Everybody had to go back to their own city. Just like you and I, we'd have to go back to our county. We pay our county taxes. We pay our state taxes. That's what we do. Then there's the federal government. Man, that's a lot of taxes, isn't it? You know, that's what you see here about Caesar Augustus. This is talking about the Roman world. He had sent everybody out to pay their taxes, cover everything. And so that's what he was doing here. And taxes is nothing new. We've seen this a long time and dealt with it a long time, but there's no taxes on the other side, so praise the Lord for that. I'll take that. I tell you, that can be a nerve-wracking time, so I say that to say that's what these people had on their mind at this time. Amazing when you think about Mary, you think about her as a young girl, and she's traveling with Joseph to go back and pay her taxes and deal with everything that she was dealing with. She was with child. She's already trying to digest a lot of things if you look back in the book of Matthew. The angel came to her and said, "This is what's getting ready to take place." She's trying to figure a lot of things out, and on top of that, it's tax time. We're seeing this from the natural man. You think about what we know today. We look back and we study this, and what we know, we feel like we or should probably know it, kind of like the back of our hand, this account in here, how it takes place. But for Mary, this was a one-day-at-a-time event. She was trying to take all these things in. A supernatural event has been proclaimed to her. Yet she's still dealing with the worldly side of things, the man side of things that she has to deal with. And as a young person traveling through, had all these things on her mind. And she's doing it one day at a time. And then also here in verse number 4, you see here, and I've already shared here, just looking back at my notes, I've already shared with you that within Matthew, again, remember, it's talking about the genealogy of a king. And this here is talking about the side of man. But see here in verses 4 and 5, it says, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. If you go back and you read that lineage in Matthew, you'll see that they both were a part of that house. You'll see that they're both a part of that side of the family. You see, as we read this as Gentiles, it wouldn't mean a whole lot to us, but as the Jewish people read that, they know or should know or see or understand that, hey, wait a minute. Jesus is the rightful heir of the throne of David. But you see, they're being called back to pay their taxes, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Everything's come together. Now, this is what you'd probably refer to as the nativity scene. We see it a lot this time of year, and it's good, but I want our minds to, I'm not going to say necessarily be reframed, but maybe hear it again for the first time. That's kind of how it is when I study. I look at things kind of not just to say, well, this is what this person has always preached or this person has always said, but Lord, what do you want me to see from this scripture? What do you want me to see from it? Make it new unto me, Lord. Make it new to me. Show me what you would have me to see. And we see here in verses 6 and 7, and it said, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she would be delivered. Now here she is away from home. She's out paying taxes, and now she's going to be having a child. I can't imagine what that would be like. Being a male, I can't imagine. I just revert back to thinking about when Josh was born. That's the closest experience that I have. That night, we had gone through the same type of ceremonies that Brandy's mother and Brandy's grandmother had done. And as far as eating spaghetti, it's like if we were waiting for this date, that's what they would do. And when it was getting close to the date, they'd eat spaghetti, and that would kick off the process. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. You know, wives' tales, whatever, that's great. Well, my grandmother did it, my mom did it, and my mom's up here, and they want to do that same thing. I'm like, great, let's do it. I love spaghetti. Let's do it. You know, I'm all in for that. And I'm telling you, it was a sight to see, really, because so here we are. We had the spaghetti. We washed the dishes. We sat down, and Brandy said, uh-oh. I said, no, you're just picking. She wasn't picking. It was time. It was time to move. And, you know, I'm starting getting everything in the car. We're getting everything together and flying down the road. Her mom's trying to keep up with us. I'm calling friends. Hey, we're having a baby. It's an exciting time. We had a place to go. We had a hospital to go to. We had care on the other side. Now, we had to wait about, what, 23 hours? Yeah, it didn't happen that fast. I thought, man, we're going to have him in the Jeep. I was like, man, this is going to happen fast. But it didn't quite happen like that. But you think about what Mary had to experience here. She's away from home. She was in a city, in this town with her husband. No place to go. No place to have a child. Not a warm place or inviting place or a doctor to go to oversee this care. It wasn't like that. She didn't have a place like that to go. But you see here in verse number 7 what took place. Everything business as usual, though. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. You know, for so many years, probably the most of my life, I know who we're talking about. Let me get that out of the way. I know who we're talking about this morning. We're talking about Jesus, but you know, in my mind, I kind of think, a lot of times I kind of see him as just a little baby, Brother Dale, at this time, and kind of disassociate who he really is. But you see, that little baby that was born, that's when he actually took on the flesh, being all God, conceived of the Holy Spirit, and took on this robe of flesh like you and I carry, and he was born a baby into this world. He was all God even at that point. Do you know that? It didn't just transpire, Brother Norman. I know we know this, but it didn't just kind of transpire over time. He was all God in that manger. And you think about Mary, I really don't think her mind could fully comprehend. I believe she listened to Gabriel and what he had to say. I believe that. But just to lay that baby in the manger and change his diaper. Now, how humbling would that be? I mean, you think about that. You think about how humbling God made this. How humble, I don't even know the right words to say, Brother Dale, but how vulnerable. You know, you think about that period of time. Herod, didn't he want to kill all the young babies?
well, you know, natural man said, well, we won't go on to go that way because Herod might kill him. Herod might do something. This might not allow us to go through with the plan that we have. Let me tell you, when God has his plan, ain't nobody going to fool it. I'll tell you that. It just don't happen that way. But you see how humble it is to see how he was laid there in the manger. So many years. I mean, she took care of him, changed his diapers, looked after him. And it's like, would you not be afraid something bad is going to happen? Not when you're on God's watch. Not when it's under God's plan. You see, this is something I want us to see here too. You see, again, the humility of this, how God placed it to be, how he said it was going to be. Firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the end. You see these humble beginnings here. Now you see a couple other people, a couple other accounts or people that are mentioned here in the Bible, or types if you want to call it that, or what have you. And it says, and there in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. So again, very humble. It's not talking about hustle and bustle and everything. It's talking about these people doing what they were supposed to be doing. They were living in the way they were supposed to be living. They were taking care of their flock. Have a little notation here in my Bible. It says pastors. I think you can see some symbolism of how pastors are supposed to take care of their flocks. Even by night. Remember, this was a dark time in history. People didn't have a lot to look forward to. Living day by day. These were not wealthy people. Out trying to pay their taxes, doing the best they could. They're just living an ordinary life, ordinary people. That's how God chooses to do his business most often. As you read the Bible, you'll see that he does extraordinary things through small people. Look at Israel. He chose them because they were the smallest. You see this family here. He didn't choose those that were wealthy. He chose ordinary people. But they were still in the lineage of David. You see how he kept everything together. And these shepherds, they're watching over their flocks by night, taking care of everything. Now you see also another group of people here that are mentioned. It's talking about the angels or beings. Let's put it, groups of beings that are mentioned. It said, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. They're out there minding their own business. And all of a sudden the angels came by. You know what angels, what their job and function is? Anybody know? Amen. Praise God. And they're also messengers. They're communicators. When an angel showed up, you know that somebody's getting ready to say something. Something from God is getting ready to happen. It's a different type of world. Things are changing. Something is going on. Angels didn't just show up to show up. Something big was going to happen. We got something to tell you. We got something we need to share with you. Remember when Gabriel showed up with Mary and Joseph both? Hey, something's getting ready to take place. You need to take note of this. You know, angels, that'd be an amazing thing for us to experience. We like to walk at night, and you know, now it gets dark at about after lunch. It'll be dark here in a minute probably, but you know, it gets dark so quick. So we do our walk, but you know, last night, yesterday is all rainy and everything, and as we were walking, we looked up, you see the clouds kind of clearing out and everything, and you can see these stars, and I'm fascinated by those things. Could you imagine being out at night doing your work, doing your business like these shepherds were doing? All of a sudden, angels started showing up to them. I think I'd be sore afraid too. And get my attention. Hey, I'm out here in the field. What is this? What does this mean to me? And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring unto you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Not just your people, but it said all people. You see, that was a great light. There was finally a voice of hope that was coming out. Wouldn't you like to hear a good voice of hope today? I mean, wouldn't you, Brother Nathan? I mean, you think about it. You turn on the news, you see that, and those who know better don't really buy into it. It's like, well, how and when is this going to be better? Soon. See, that's good news. You imagine if an angel showed up to you today and said, hey, this thing is about to round up soon. It's about over. If you're unsaved, you'd probably get a little excited about that. Probably be encouraged if you're lost. Probably concerned. You see, God's people had a light of hope that was shown round about them. The angel of the Lord said unto them, "Fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Boy, I tell you, that's encouraging to me this morning to hear this. In verse number 10, it says here, "And the angel of the Lord said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. For unto you is born today in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And all this, or this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on the earth, peace, goodwill toward men." These little shepherds, that's humbling to me when I think about it. Who were they? Why didn't he go to Caesar? Why didn't he go to the big people in town? But he went to these little shepherds that were minding their business, doing their thing, and he said, "Now you go to the city and see this. You go to Bethlehem and see what's going on." Now you read that fast, and I think about the multitude of heaven and this host that was around him. And Brother Dale, that really spoke to my heart because I read it really fast. And I watch Charlie Brown really fast, and I don't let the words soak in like they should. If you remember, this was a vulnerable time, and Jesus was in a vulnerable spot. He was a little baby. All God and all man was in the body of a little baby. Can you believe that? Isn't that something? But you see, when the Lord announces something, he had the angels there with him, right? Scared the little shepherds. They were scared to death and afraid. And the angels, but you know who else was with them, Brother Terry? The multitudes of the host of heaven. Can I tell you that God sent the armies of heaven when Jesus was born? Now you think about that. Brother, you think about how exciting that would be. Let's just say he was well protected. Let's put it that way. Nothing was going to fall his plan. You remember, I think it was Elisha, when he was down and out and he was down in the dumps and he wasn't feeling so good. And he said, "Lord, help me. I'm discouraged. I'm coming round about with all this trouble." And guess what? The Lord opened his eyes to the spiritual side of things. And he said, "Look on them hills." We got protection. We got help if we believe it or not. You know, being one of God's people is a very blessed place to be. Wouldn't want to belong to any other group, Brother Nathan. I wouldn't. Praise God. "Suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." That was the great light that came into this earth. Things looked dark. Things looked dim. Like it was not going to change. We're just paying taxes and living and just getting by, and it just doesn't look like things are going to change. And he's saying, "Hey, wait a minute. The Savior is here now." See, this is a block of time that you've got to look at this. And I really try to slow down and take this in. This is a block of history of time that actually happened. It was foretold there in Isaiah that Jesus was going to be born and the new government was going to be established. And guess what? That day it took place. He was born. People who knew their history, paid attention in history class, should be, "Now wait a minute, I've heard about this. This is him." You read on a little bit further, you'll see Simeon was promised, "You will not die until you see the Christ." A few verses over, he holds him. This is him. See, that's the excitement. You say, "Well, preacher, that's great. This is an old story that we hear over and over and over." That should ignite a little bit of hope in us today. See, in this block of time, as Jesus was told he was going to be coming at his birth, guess what? We also preach that he's going to be coming at the second coming. As this time speeds up and it goes faster and faster, I think we just kind of get locked into brief cycles of time. But you know, when you look back to that time, you can say that time came and passed. Jesus Christ was born. That time, it came and passed. You can't refute that. It's in the Bible. You can't refute it. Jesus lived his life. He lived those 33 and a half years, and he went to the cross and he died. You can't refute that. That day, that block of time happened. We look back to those days. What was it, 3 days, 3 nights later? He arose and he came back and he was seen to what, 500? That day happened. You see it, you count it, we read it, we say, "Yes, this happened, this happened, this happened." Well, guess what? There's one thing left to happen. The day when he calls us out of here. See, that day is going to happen just like these other days. It's that great light. See, that's what it's about. It's wonderful that he came to this world and that he was born into this world and that he died for our sins and that he rose. That's wonderful, but it's not over yet. Can I tell you, the very best thing is yet to happen. I get to see him and I get to go home with him. You know, the cross, Brother Keith, had to happen. That was a hard day. You think about what that looked like. Satan thought he'd actually beat the Christ. Thought it's done, it's over. I can win now. But he arose again. Boy, that's a good day. But I'm waiting for the best day, brother. That's when I get to go home with him and I get to see him. You see, that's why that heavenly host was so excited and worshiping and praising God, because this isn't over yet. See, he can see that. He knows that. Praise God, I can feel that. See, that's my hope. This brief period of time, there's a lot of hardships we face, and I can't neglect that. I thank God that I can see rays of light and the great light and get excited about this, but I know we face things here in this life that hurts. I know that. It's discouraging and it hurts, but the Lord wants us to see this bigger picture. You think about all the generations throughout time that have held on to this promise of seeing this. Seeing this come to be. Maybe I'll get to go in the rapture. Maybe I'll get to go. If you believe the Bible, that's what it says. Maybe I'll get to go. This is my hope. I'm just thankful to be alive now that could be my hope. Church, we might not have to physically die. We could go in the rapture. Now that's a wonderful hope. You mean you really think about that? It's one thing if we go one at a time, the Lord is going to take care of us, those that are saved. But if you're saved this morning, he could take us all together. Mama, I like that. You imagine that. Boy, I tell you, Brother Dale, it gets good. And it gets better and it keeps getting better. Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, goodwill toward men. He came to bring peace and joy. You see, Caesar, he was afflicting his people. He was taxing his people. The leaders of this world, let me just tell you this, they look out for number one. May not believe that, but they're looking out for number one. They want to see what they can get from you. Increased taxes, all those things, not getting political. It's in the Bible. We're talking Bible. That's what they want. But you know, when Jesus came, the one who is actually deserving of the praise, he came here for you. Came here to set you and me free. What is better than that? I get concerned sometimes when I think people get the idea that being a Christian is confining or it's hard. I mean, I think maybe if you look at it from a legalistic approach, I've got to do all these things and I can't do these things or whatever. Maybe that might be a little confining, but Jesus came here to set you free. Jesus fulfilled the law. He's not concerned about the law. He came so you wouldn't have to die under the law. He said, I'll fulfill it so you don't have to mess with that. You just believe in me. When I come back, I'll take you with me. What a hope and what a promise that is. You see, verse number 15, it says, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them unto heaven, after they had came and they pronounced who Jesus is, they pronounced, communicated, gave the message of who he is to these lowly shepherds. It came to pass as the angels were gone away from them unto heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, and the Lord hath made known unto us. Let us go see this. We've heard about it, and I believe it. Now let's go look at it. Let's go see it. I want to see this for myself. I want to experience this for myself. You know, that reminds me a lot about salvation. Personally seeing, personally accepting Christ yourself, it's not something you do as a group, you do that individually. It's not something that you inherit. It's not something that somebody else can give to you. You by faith have to believe who Jesus Christ is and what he did for you. They went and saw firsthand who this child was. They heard about it and they went to go look and see about it firsthand. And they came haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now I love what they do here. This is what you and I are supposed to do. You'll see, it's hard to preach out of the Bible and not share the gospel somewhere. I mean, you really should do it probably every time you preach or teach. I'm just going to be honest with you, Brother Tim. It's just that good. Why would you not want to share it? But it says here, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which is told them concerning this child. They made known abroad. They made known. It's what you and I are supposed to do. Not have some grand essay or some grand form of words. Paul said, I don't pretend to know anything but Jesus and him crucified. I like that. Brother Allen, sometimes the more I study, I revert back to that. I don't have to pretend to know everything. I don't. Paul admitted, I don't know anything but Jesus Christ crucified. That's what you need to know if you want to get to heaven. That's all you need to know. Putting your faith and trust in him, the only one that can get you there. But they made it known. This thing which told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. All them that heard. That's kind of like here this morning. It's kind of like when you hear a message. There's a lot of people wondering about it. Is that really true? You know, there's a lot of things that people could put their faith in this morning. There's a lot of things. You know, Brother Keith mentioned, talking about Oprah saying, you know, that there's many ways to God. Well, there's not. We know that. I trust that we know that. There's only one way. That's through Jesus Christ, through his blood. But you know, you think, well, what about this faith? Well, what about this faith? Well, why do people believe this? Or where did this come from? Man made up a lot of things. There's a book I read when I was in school called Kingdom of the Cults. If you really want to see a lot of things, read that. I'll just go ahead and tell you this morning, if it's not the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's a cult. There's only one way. Everything else is a false way. And anybody that tries to come up any other way is a thief and a robber. That's what Paul said. That's what the Bible tells us. There's only one way. That keeps it simple. But you know, people, Satan, he puts in the minds of people, hey, write this book and tell people this, tell people that. Tried to learn a little bit more about the Mormons one time. I actually had some Mormon friends, and their comment was, you know, they had the King James Bible, by the way. They carried that. But their belief, they told me, my friend told me, he said, hey, what we believe is you have to have this book to understand this book. Neither one of those books can stand alone, but you have to put them both together. Now, where does that say that in the Word of God? Man-made, it's false, it's a cult. See, there's a lot of people wondering about things today. What's right? What's wrong? What about this faith? Why does this faith exist if it's wrong? Because there's a devil that wants to confuse you and tell you another way. There's no other way. You say, preacher, then what you're telling me is that I have to believe this book above any other book. That's what I'm telling you this morning. I'm just going to be honest with you. That's what I'm telling you. I believe this to be the inherent word of God. If you read and you study and you go down through all time, this good news that we're talking about, God has protected that. You remember that host? God's preserved his word 7 times as silver. He's preserved his word for us. He's not just going to give it to some generations and cut it off. He's a just and a righteous God. We have his word. But do we take him at his word, and do we trust him? Do we believe him? See, that's what it is. People were wondering. And what is all this? Is this really him? You look at all the prophecy that's been fulfilled. I can't go there this morning, but you go back to Isaiah and you read that. You couple that with this, with these scriptures here, you'll see that it ties in together.
And all those that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. You imagine this little girl with this little baby trying to figure all these things out. I'm an older guy now, and I'm still trying to figure a lot of things out. I couldn't imagine what that was like. I look back to when Josh was born. Man, I was naive. I thought I knew some things, but Sister Mel and I didn't. Didn't know a lot of things. Could you imagine her trying to figure these things out day in, day out, trying to figure these things out? She pondered it in her heart. Did you know that? I don't think she fully understood. I really don't. Maybe she did. Maybe God gave her that grace, but who she actually had right there with her. You know, I thought about it like this. Again, not being a woman, but you know, you think about other women maybe reading this, say, man, imagine what it would have been like to be the mother of Jesus, the one who actually
took care of him, what that would be like. But I want to remind you too, I don't know what it felt like to her when she stood at the bottom of that cross and she looked up at her son. He was down on that cross. It wasn't all easy. It wasn't all shouting. A lot to try to take in and understand, I'm sure. But it happened. It's just as real as what you and I see today. What we're facing today, just as real. I like this here. I'm getting ready to close with this. And you see here, you see how they left out those that had seen it. They made it known abroad. Those that heard it, they were wondering about it. Mary pondered about it, and what the shepherds do. I like this part. This is a good part. The shepherds returned glorifying, praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. As it was told unto him, the shepherds went shouting. The shepherds were so excited. You say, why? Why were they so excited? I want to go back and I want to read this. In Isaiah chapter number 9. Why? What was the good news? What were they telling everybody? What was so good about it? You see in chapter number 9, verse 6 in Isaiah again, it says, For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. See, all that we really get frustrated with right now, a lot of times, is politics. People fight one side, people fight another, and I've seen enough of it. I don't plan on making an announcement. I don't plan on running again for school board. I'm going to give up my seat. But I've seen enough in local politics that I can only imagine what happens in national politics. The handshakes, the back rubs, whatever you want to say, how you take care of this, you take care of that. I'm telling you, it's a dirty thing. But if you got your hope in that, you're in a bad spot. Because man is overseeing that. Man is running that government. What Isaiah is saying here, we're going to have a new government. And upon his shoulder, upon Jesus Christ's shoulder, is this new government going to be. It's going to be perfect. It's going to be right. There's not anything that you have to question him. You just trust him and you know he's going to do it right. Can I tell you this morning, Jesus has never done me wrong. Amen. If this is a campaign season, if my life is a campaign season to when I get over there, I'd vote for him. Amen. If he can take care of me in this world, imagine what he can do in that world. Think about that. He's got our best care at heart. And he should be called Wonderful. I looked that up, and that means exciting surprise. But his name is Wonderful Counselor. I have to ask for help all the time. I have to ask for advice all the time on many things. And I'm not ashamed to admit that. I ask people different times. If somebody's learned something and they know a lot more about something than I do, I have no problem saying, hey, could you help me with this? I have no problem with that. But you imagine Jesus, he's the counselor. He doesn't go to anyone. He's the one. He's the all-knowing. He's the counselor. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father, and he's the Prince of Peace. You see his deity here. You see the Trinity. He's God the Father. You see the Prince of Peace. You see Jesus Christ. And trusting and knowing who he is and of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. That's the beautiful thing about it. You don't have election cycles. You don't have 8-year restrictions. You know, over there in that government, do you know once that government starts, did you know it never ends? It runs forever. There's no lining up to vote or no showing IDs to vote, anything like that. You just trust the Lord for eternity. Perfect. Imagine what that's going to be like. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom. No order to order it and to establish it with the judgment and the justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. God is going to hold this thing out. He's going to see it all the way through. What a great light that it is. I tell you, I thank the Lord for his word. Say that a lot, I guess, but I thank God for his word and the hope that I have after this life. Even if this life has been hard, you faced a lot of hard things here. If you're saved, you have your best life to come. The light has been shown round about the world. The light has been shown to you. The question is, do you accept it? Are you going to follow him? Are you going to trust him? We see him here as a baby here this morning, a baby lying in a manger. The gift of God to us, to all the world, that whoever would believe. But I ask you this morning, who do you have your confidence in? Who do you have your trust in? Are you wondering about it? Are you trying to figure it out? I tell you, the Lord can really settle some things in your heart if you'll let him. Sometimes people, again, the natural man, he has a hard time with it. He tries to figure things out by logic. You see the way Matthew would have written some things. You see the way Luke would have written some things, but it talks to each one of us. Some things we know, some things we don't know, some things we wonder about. But by faith, if you trust in Jesus Christ, you don't have to wonder about the hereafter. You can know. You don't have to worry about that. So that's the greatest gift. You think about what we celebrate at Christmas time, what we celebrate as a secular holiday, but my goodness, there's way more to it if you look at the biblical account of what this means, what Christ has done for us. If you will, stand with me this morning. I'll ask Brother Nathan to get us a song together.